Let me get started. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you, even though it's very rainy and wet, we know that there's a reason for it, and you're providing all things for us because you are good. So we praise you no matter, you know, the challenges with the weather. But we praise you especially today. We want to honor you because of your great plan to meet our needs through our mothers. We want to praise you for that. We thank you for all that you provide for us through them. We thank you, Lord, for their gifts and talents, for their makeup and the character traits that they embody. And so we just want to praise you this morning. Pray, Lord, your word would really speak to our hearts, and all of us would find something to take away from our time today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, to start with, I want to mention, kind of share a little bit about myself. When I was about 6 years old, actually, when I was born in Decatur, lived in Decatur, then we moved to Bloomington, then Clinton, then Decatur, then Lovington, then Mount Zion, then Decatur, then back to Lovington. And then when I was in college, I went from Decatur to Charleston to Lovington. I've lived all over the place. I had no stability, let me tell you. Anyway, God bless all of you who have lived in the same house your whole life, like Jim, you know, grew up and is still living there. I have no idea what that's like. Anyway, when we lived in Clinton, I was about 6 years old. I think I was maybe in kindergarten. And the writing was on the wall as a little kid. I got into so much trouble. I had so many injuries, did so many stupid things, fell out of trees, stabbed myself with a knife. I mean, it was crazy. One of the things, you're probably not going to appreciate this as moms, but anyone would tell you. Our house was two stories. Okay, and in the backyard, probably about 50 to 100 yards away, there was a creek, tons of trees. There's an old cow pasture with barbed wire. It was a great place to adventure when you're 6 years old. And on the other side of the road, to the would have been maybe the north, there was a railroad track, and the railroad track stretched for miles, went all the way through Clinton and went out of town, and it was very overgrown. It was great to adventure there. Our entire neighborhood. Everybody had gardens, there were fruit trees, grapevines. I mean, as a kid, it was a perfect place to live, to get in lots of trouble. Plus, I lived next to three boys older than me. Okay, Jimmy, Joey, and Robbie. And we got in lots of trouble. Anyway, so my mom's not here. She could, she'd probably hate for me to tell you the story, because it maybe reflects bad on her. But when I was really little in this house, my bedroom was on the second floor, and my window went out onto the porch. Okay, so I could go outside the window and go to the porch. I'm just a little kid. When it was nap time, I would open up the window, I'd go sit on the porch, and then one day I realized, you know what, I think I could jump down there. And I started jumping off the roof. Hurt myself a couple times. Then I started to climb and hold on to stuff and then drop off. But when it was nap time, it was great because I went on adventures every single day. Every day. One day, I went over the railroad track with a couple friends, and we walked as far as as a six-year-old can without being exhausted. And then I remember we're going like, we can't get it back. So we stopped and we rested for like an hour. We were so far away, it took forever to get back. And by the time I got home, my mom was not happy, let me tell you. Well, that was one story. Another time, I snuck out all the time, by the way. Snuck out, went into the backwoods, and, you know, we're having such a great time out there. Jimmy, Joey, Robbie, their dad's screaming for them. They left. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool to kind of hide out here in the woods? Nobody will find me. So I'm hiding out in the trees until dark. That wasn't good for me either when my dad got home. And then another time, I snuck out. And again, I snuck out all the time. This time, I decided it'd be great to ride my bike across town to my aunt's house. A couple miles away. And that didn't work out so well either. But anyway, here's what happened. Is I snuck out all the time, got away with it, and my mom never knew how I got out of the house. She thought I was the sneakiest person you'd ever met, because I always snuck out of the house while she was downstairs. Never realized I was going out the window until I heard a scream one time, And my sister was on the porch. She's like 2 years younger than me. She's on the porch, and she's crying, she's screaming. My mom's freaking out and screaming, you know, stay, stay. And then, how did you get there? Well, I saw, you know, little Mel doing that. So, oh. So my sister is the reason why I got caught, and all my adventures came to an end, because my bedroom got moved after that. Anyway, listen, I share all that with you to say this. How do I know that my mom loved me? Because she did not kill me, right? It's as simple as that. You know what? Actually, you know how I know my mom loved me? Because no matter how lost I was, she kept looking for me. In honor of Mother's Day, I want to look at some of the biblical qualities of godly moms. Mothers are characterized in many different ways in our culture, in our society, media. Maybe looks, possessions, accomplishments. But the most important quality of a mom is godliness. Now, this does not mean perfection, but she has a quality that serves an important role for her children. No woman can completely express every single one of these characteristics, but a godly mother is one who is growing in all these ways. And as I go through these, I'm thinking of my wife, Andrea, and how my wife as a mom embodies lots of these and is growing and has grown a lot. The first character trait I want to look at is loving. A godly mother is loving. Most mothers naturally love their children and would never think about giving up on them. A Christian mom loves her children the way God loves us, unconditionally. His love is not dependent upon our behavior or our circumstances, but it's based upon His grace. A godly mom loves us in the same way. In 1 John 4:18, John wrote, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." So a mother who loves God with all of her heart, mind, and soul isn't afraid to love her children unconditionally. She knows that it's going to require patience and faith, and that she's going to be tested and challenged with the raising of her kids. However, her love inspires confidence in her children that they don't need to worry about mom's love. Her unconditional love makes them feel secure. The next trait that I want to explore is forgiving. A mother who's godly is forgiving. She bears with each other. She bears with others' burdens. She overlooks their faults, in particular in her children. She knows and applies God's word. Jesus said, "If you forgive others, you too will be forgiven." So a godly mother is highly skilled, highly adept at forgiving her children, not to mention her husband. After all, mothers, probably more than anyone else, probably even more than fathers, has more reason or more opportunities to learn and develop forgiveness. So, I was going to write this into a poem, but I ran out of time. How I forgive you, let me count the ways. That would be a great title for a poem, but it's not a poem. Here we go. How I forgive you, let me count the ways. If we get a dog, I promise, pinky swear, I'll take care of it. She started it. I already brushed my teeth. I forgot. I'll do it tomorrow. Did you use mommy's scissors? Then why are your bangs an inch long? Did you put on eyeshadow? Then why are your eyes all sparkly? I was born with sparkle, Mom. Did you bite your brother? No, I kissed him with my teeth. Why didn't you answer the phone when I called? Well, my battery was low. Of course I ate the lunch you packed. I love celery. No, I didn't block you on Facebook. That must be a mistake. I'm just going to play this game for 2 more minutes. How I love you. How I forgive you. Let me count the ways. A forgiving mother is quick to forgive, knowing that forgiveness restores peace and eliminates tension in the home. Her forgiveness isn't given when she feels like it. It's given unconditionally, just like her love. Just like the way God forgives us and loves us unconditionally. Well, the next trait I want to look at is sacrificing. A godly mother lives sacrificially. She embodies 1 Timothy 6:6, which says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." She puts the needs of her children and others before her own wants, desires, and even needs. Even if she has little to share, she is willing to give to others. It is unlikely that anyone in the family sacrifices more than mom. Sacrificial moms often get little sleep and still manage to function. They give their time and energy to meet household needs with little recognition and often with little appreciation. And there aren't that many kids in here today, but I think we need to fix that, don't we? Do a better job this week with appreciation. A godly mom remembers that her children are a gift and on loan from God. She knows that by putting her children first, putting Christ first, she is doing the will of God, and she's learning to trust Jesus to provide for her needs. So a godly mom is loving and forgiving and sacrificing. And the next trait we'll look at is compassion. Moms are the chief sore kissers, all right? Isn't that true? They know exactly where the Band-Aids are. Men, do you know where the Band-Aids are? Men, anybody know where the Band-Aids are? I happen to know where the Band-Aids are. Okay, there's maybe three of us. Okay. Moms, where are the Band-Aids? You know where they are? Come on, you guys know where the Band-Aids are. You guys are not engaged, okay? Moms, do you know where the Band-Aids are or not? Yes, all right. That's the point. Moms know where the emergency kit is, where the Band-Aids are. They're the chief sore kissers. When one of the kids is hurt physically or emotionally, mom is the first one they look for. Her kids know she will wipe away their tears, listen to their stories, and tenderly care for them. A godly mom embodies 1 Thessalonians 2:7. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you. Or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. God designed the mother's heart, and her children find great comfort, rest, and security in her embrace. We know this is a godly trait because God used a mother's compassion to describe himself. In Isaiah 66, he said, As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. The next trait we want to talk about is a teacher. A godly mom never uses the phrase, "Do as I say, not as I do." Not. You know what? We all use that phrase subtly and sometimes intentionally. However, a godly mom knows that she needs to lead by example. And what better example than following the master teacher, Jesus himself? Amen. The Apostle Paul commends Timothy's mom and grandmother in the second letter, in particular for their teaching. This is what it says. "Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you." Christian moms who regularly read and meditate on God's word influence their children to do the same and encourage them to put their faith in God and his word. Her witness and diligence to learn and apply God's word motivates her children to be just like her. Mothers must never underestimate the role that they play in teaching their children about God, about faith and salvation. Okay, teacher, next trait is kid sense. Godly moms have eyes in the back of their heads. Isn't that true? That's right. All you young people understand that. You can't fool them, or you can't fool them for long. They always seem to know if you're telling the truth. God has given them special discernment with their children. It's very impressive, honestly. not, you know, being deficient of that, you know, kid sense. I'm very appreciative. This ability is innate in most moms, but in a godly mom, this ability is supercharged by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit saying, warning, warning, there is something going on here with one of your kids. Better pay attention. A good Christian mom stays intimately connected with God so that she maintains a discerning heart. She's willing to grow in knowledge through reading God's word and absorbing the truth from mature godly mothers. God grants her discernment in the lives of her children so that she can lead them in righteousness and so she knows how to pray for them. I ran across this funny story. I thought you might appreciate it. It was a young girl's testimony about her mom. She says, I used to believe my mother had eyes in the back of her head because she always caught me doing something I shouldn't have. I could never find her eyes. She said they only opened when I was doing something bad. I remember testing her one day when I was 5 or 6. We were in the kitchen. She had her back to me. She was standing at the kitchen sink washing dishes. So I stuck my tongue out at her, and she said, I saw that. Put your tongue away. I was flabbergasted. I finally figured out what happened that day in the kitchen. You guessed it. The window over the sink showed my reflection. Of course, I was 15 when I figured this out. 10 solid years. But anyway, I don't know if that's true or not. Did the eyes just, anyway. Well, the next trait we'll look at is godly mom is a prayer warrior. A godly mother never stops praying for her children. She prays without ceasing and will not give up. People are often written off when they face trials and struggles and consequences of their own actions. But godly moms plead for the grace and the mercy of Christ to cover their kids. A godly mom's endurance and diligence in prayer is strengthened by her faith in God to keep his promises. Her trust in God is best exemplified by Psalms 9:10. It says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Her trust in God is unwavering, although she is tempted to doubt, just like anyone else. The next trait that I have is fun. Okay, that's probably not a biblical one. I'll admit that this isn't necessarily biblical advice, but I think God approves of moms having fun with their kids, don't you? Well, I read several articles on this particular topic, and I'm sure you can find dozens more on the internet. Well, here are a few of the titles of these articles that I read. 50 Easy Ways to Be a Fun Mom. Go from Monster to Funster. These aren't my titles, remember. 10 Ways to Become a Fun Mom and 17 Habits of Very Happy Moms. If you look, you can get all kinds of fun advice on how to be a fun mom. Most of the articles that I read lament how moms have lost their energy because they're so busy and tired. But I thought maybe you would enjoy some of this fun advice anyway. You ready for the advice? Here we go. How to be a fun mom. Get on a swing. Okay. Tell knock-knock jokes. If you don't know any, just ask your husband because he's probably got plenty. Blow bubbles in your milk. Oh, no. Not going to do that, are you? Roll up your child in a burrito. Now, that sounds like fun. Blow the biggest bubble. Go camping in your living room. Have a bubble bath. Bake cookies with your kids. I know. They're going to mess up your kitchen. Roll down the hill. Jump in puddles with them. Have dessert for dinner. I say amen to that one. And throw a slumber party. Well, those are some ideas. Godly moms are growing in these traits. She always looks for her lost child. She is loving, forgiving, sacrificing, and compassionate. She is a teacher. She has kid sense. She is a prayer warrior, and she knows how to have fun. As moms and as parents, it's important that we are growing in these godly character traits in order to transmit these character traits to our kids. Now, why is this? Why is it so important to be growing and developing in these character traits? Because it is not a matter of if you're going to influence your children. It's a matter of what kind of influence you're going to be. So, as we prepare to close the message, I just want to encourage you. Godly mothers know how to hold onto their children. Last bit of advice. Godly mothers know how to hold onto their children loosely. She recognizes that her children are a gift and a reward from God, but her stewardship over them only lasts a relatively short time. Listen to this advice from Corrie Ten Boom. If you guys don't remember Corrie Ten Boom, she was a survivor of the Holocaust and Nazi concentration camps in Germany. Christian woman, godly woman. She passed away some time ago. Listen to this advice from Corrie Ten Boom that she gave Chuck Swindoll before she passed away. Cupping her wrinkled hands in front of me, she passed on a statement of advice I'll never forget. I can still recall that strong Dutch accent. I'm not going to pretend that I can do it. Chuck, Pastor Swindoll, you must learn to hold everything loosely. Everything. Even your dear family. Why? Because the father may wish to take one of them back to himself. And when he does, it will hurt you if he must pry your fingers loose. And then, having tightened her hands together while saying all that, she slowly opened them and smiled so kindly as she added, "Remember, hold everything loosely, everything." In the back of my mind, I can still hear her words. One of the greatest blessings that there is to have a godly mother. And Christian mothers must never underestimate their calling. I think this verse is particularly poignant at this moment and something for all moms to really grab a hold of. Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Hear that, godly moms? In due season, you'll reap a harvest. Don't grow weary. Amen? All right, I'm going to pray to close this, and the elders are going to come forward. There's going to be an offer, invitation to come forward and to pray with the elders as we're singing. And if you're here today and you're ready to surrender your life to Christ, come forward and share that with one of the elders and let them know you're ready to take that step. But take this advice home. Encourage your mothers and moms, grandmothers. Be encouraged by God's word. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to worship you and know you. We thank you, God, for the godly mothers in our lives. They are a tremendous blessing, and we just thank you for them. We ask, Lord, that you fill each of the moms here today with passion and encouragement to develop the godly characters, the godly qualities and character, that they might influence their kids in righteousness and know how to pray for them and encourage them. So pray, Lord, that we all walk out of here with a sense of appreciation, recognizing that you are the one that's given us the wonderful gift of our moms. Please bring glory to yourself in our worship today. In Jesus' name, amen.